Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Yvonne McCoy, and welcome back to I'm Ready for Me. And I'm ecstatic that you're taking this time for yourself and for your business. It is June, and June is almost all the way over. I can't believe it. And, you know, I can honestly say that this year has been like no other, and I say that every year, and thank goodness it keeps happening. It keeps getting better and better. And, you know, what I want to share with you is the I'm Ready for Me Adept Living philosophy. And that's a philosophy of living your life expertly, as skilled, as well-trained, and as thoughtfully as you can. Your life doesn't just have to happen to you. You can learn and use success strategies and systems that can consciously enrich your life. You don't have to be, you know, just something that's bobbing in the water that gets caught up in the currents. You can make choices about your health, your wealth, yourself, and have results that create a bolder and more dynamic life. And the more I find that out, the more exciting life seems to get, that you have more control over it than you think. And sometimes it's simple. It's just a matter of about thinking about what you want and having your whole being kind of just go in that direction, which is something that I would have never said to you 5 or 10 years ago, okay? And that whole process begins with discovering and focusing on what you envision for all areas of your life. It's like if you did the Wheel of Life exercise, you know you can't be at a 10 in one area and at a, you know, a 3 in the other and have a smooth ride. You're going to have lots of bumps. And so it's important that you learn to exercise all your muscles and expand your horizons fearlessly, you know, when you use those strategies and systems so that you can handle change, goal setting, problem solving, managing resources, so that you can get a life that is abundant and that's what you're looking for and that is effortlessly. Not just in one area of your life, but your whole life. So I'm ecstatic to take this journey with you. I've made some shifts in the last years, so it's been geared more for business. But most of the strategies that I talk to you about are things that you can use in your life, too. So today we're going to talk about making over your business. Does your business need a makeover? And, you know, just like you need to periodically give yourself a makeover in terms of your style or what you're looking like or change that lipstick or the hair or buy a new suit, okay, you need to do the same thing with your business. And, you know, it's almost July, and that means that we are halfway through 2015. We are finishing up the second quarter. And I have to ask you, will you be where you want to be? And if not, you know, you really might want to think about making over or updating your business. And, you know, how do you know that your business needs a makeover, right? What might happen, okay? You might want to keep in mind that, you know, if you really want your business to work and to grow with you, because you're evolving and your business is evolving, that you need to regularly evaluate it and see where you are. So how do you know it's time? It may be when your profits are slowing down or they're not coming in as expected, or when you've gotten too comfortable with the business and you've lost your excitement. It may be because you want to change your lifestyle. You know, so you want to, you know, increase your flexibility, have more free time. Or you might just want to up your game. In other words, you've been playing it safe and you're bored and you might just want to do something else that's going to change the way that you enter your business so that you can be fully involved and really have some challenges that you want. And changing from selling to relationship marketing can be an easy way to update your marketing strategies. And I'm going to tell you a couple ways to do that after this program that I think you'll find exciting. So if you haven't done it, go up to the upper left-hand corner and click the like button. Also in the description, you'll see a link there for anyone who's interested in the 100-day challenge, which has been phenomenal. I've done it twice this year, and I have gotten astronomical results each time. And so I'm going to encourage everybody to take a look at that, and that link is in the description for the show. Okay. So, you know, the question that I want to ask you is, do you feel like sometimes you're not getting the results that you want, even though you feel like you're putting in the time and the effort? I mean, because, you know, there's a difference between being productive and being busy, okay? So if you're, you know, pushing and you're, you know, not getting the results and the, you know, with all the effort you're putting in, maybe it's time that you think about doing a makeover. And like I said, periodically, whether it's because of the seasons or because of the years, you know, you don't think that's so strange with fashion. So why should it be strange, you know, with your business? like I said, you may know that this is time because things are not working the way that you want. You're not getting the kind of customers that you want. You're not making, you know, your profit margins are slipping. You're not excited about your business. You're not excited about, you know, your customers. I mean, and that happens sometimes. You know, it gets to a point where the customers you have are not necessarily the customers you want, but, you know, you keep them because you need them. So the question, you know, and always the first step in the I'm Ecstatic model is, what new information do you need? You know, are you at a point where you think you might need to take a class or buy a program? Do you need to join a support group or a mastermind to start getting some outside feedback? Do you need to hire me as your coach so that you, so that you can get a totally different perspective? Those are all things we're going to take a look at, but we're going to start with three things today that I have been really focusing on in the last month or so that I think are really interesting. And that's the whole concept of sales versus relationship building in building your business, and then overcoming objections and how you can actually use that to build your business and your relationships, and how does all this help with new client enrollment. And that's what this is really about, is how do you get more clients, and how do you get more clients that you really want and that you like. And, of course, we'll have an assignment, and we'll get you ready, you know, for a plan. So that's where we're going today, relationship building, overcoming objections, and help with a new client enrollment. I don't know about you, but it's supposed to be in the 90s where I am, so I'm going to be sipping some water as we go along. Okay, so there are lots of ways that you can do, you know, a makeover. You may decide that you want a new business model. You may want new business goals. You may want new products, a new way of communicating. And what we're going to be talking about is marketing techniques, okay? And, you know, all of this is to make you an expert in your niche, right? You're not going to do anything that's not going to help you build your business. So that's a given. And I think it's important when you're getting ready to make a change that you want to make sure that you do your homework so that you can feel confident in these new decisions that you're going to be making. And you know, like I said, what information do you think you need, right? And so if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you got. So you need some new information to take you in a different direction. It doesn't mean that your principles have changed or the core of your business has changed. It just is going to be, you know, a shinier object in the marketing field, okay? And that's why sometimes when you buy a program or you get some professional help, you get that outside perspective that can really help you look at what you're doing. I will say this, that if you're thinking about making over your business, one of the things that I'm going to tell you about, and I'll tell you about it again at the end, is you may want to go to EFT-Scripts and sign up for the newsletter and for the free teleseminars I'm doing with another practitioner, health wellness practitioner. It's actually called the Wellness Professional Success Blueprint, a step-by-step growth model. But what I want you to know is, even though it's meant for wellness practitioners, anybody that's offering a service can get a lot out of this. And every week we touch on something new. And for 24 hours, you can get the recording for free, and it costs you nothing. It's on Wednesdays at 2:30 Eastern, so it'll be this Wednesday at 2:30 Eastern. And it's free to listen. And there is such a nominal cost to buy the whole program that it is a very small investment. And I have to tell you, this is a perfect example of making over your business. I am doing something in a model that I have never done before, that I was very hesitant to do, that I really kind of like grit my teeth because it really pulled me out of my comfort zone. And I have to tell you that I am having so much fun with this. I am the modules as we go along have been fantastic. They will help anybody grow their business and basically have a blueprint for their business to find out who the right client is, that type of thing. So as I said, if you want to go to EFT-scripts.com, you're going to look to sign up for the newsletter for the Wellness Professional Success Blueprint, a step-by-step growth model. And it really is for anybody who has a business, a service business. And you're going to get lots of every week we do like two handouts and a discussion, and I think you're going to get a lot out of it. Okay, going into what we're presenting on the show, okay, was the first part of this is sales versus relationship marketing. And, you know, relationship marketing is all about developing a good line of communication with your customer. It's basically a situation where you both win. You're at a point where you can trust each other, and that's really what, you know, marketing is about, is to help people to know, like, and trust you. And this really helps when it comes to, it's like you've done the groundwork before it's time to ask for a sale. So, example, you know, if you think about the people that you buy from, okay, the person that you know, like, and trust, you know, does it matter that they have the cheapest price? If they're right next to each other and everything else is the same, you know, most people are willing to pay a little bit extra to buy from the person they trust the most, and you're probably the same, okay? I'm not talking about necessarily, you know, the impersonal things, but definitely the personal things, okay? And as a business owner, the more solid your relationship you develop with your customers, the more business and the more business referrals you will get. And research has shown that it is more expensive to keep finding new customers as opposed to retaining your current ones. And that's another reason why relationship marketing is so important for any business, because it makes sense to do things that are going to keep your clients happy. Then when you run a sale or you have a new product coming out, you have eager buyers who are willing to snap them up. And when you're selling, you know, when you're selling, your main goal is exactly that, to get the sale. But you also, you know, it's not about just getting the money and manipulating, okay? It may not, you know, your main concern is not that of, you know, you need to get the cash because otherwise you can't stay in business. But it's also nice to know that you've got a client that you that likes you and that you can cultivate, okay? Now, it's true that relationship buying may not get you the immediate kinds of success and profit that regular all-out, you know, buying will, but it will help you retain your customers, right? Someone who is only out for themselves and not for the good of the customer is not going to have a lot of customers in the end. And relationship marketing takes more work, okay? But over the long period, not right away, but over the long period, it can actually double or triple your bottom line if you do it correctly. And the best way to look at relationship marketing versus selling is to think of it as retaining your current customers instead of always looking for new ones. And one takes a lot less work than the other. So let's talk about sales. Sales is typically a transactional kind of thing. It's about selling an item or a service. It is, you know, buy this, right? But in relationship marketing, it's typically more about services. Relationship marketing can be a great alternative to transactional marketing, but you have to like people to do it. And why transactional marketing is straightforward, I'm here to sell you this, and it's easy to grasp, relationship marketing can be a little bit trickier. Okay, it can take longer to deliver results, but can lead to much better results in the long run, and you are, you know, to get the best of both worlds, you're incorporating both strategies. And what that means is that, you know, you're building the relationship, but at some point you still have to ask for the sale, okay? But with relationship marketing, you are further down that road and have covered a lot of things. And one of the things you will have covered are the objections that typically come up when you're trying to do a sale. So, and we're going to cover objections, okay? So you don't have to do all, you know, there are lots of strategies out there. You don't need to do them all. You can pick and choose. And as always, your style has a lot to do with the kind of clientele that you're going to attract. So you should pick the ones that you like to do, that you know that you can do over and over again, okay? You know, the nice thing is with your repeat clients, there's a better chance that they're going to pay for higher packages because they know, like, and trust you. So that person that maybe is spending $50 a month with you might then start paying $75. A real simple way to look at that is if you go to a beauty salon and you like the products that she's using on your hair, you know, you spend your money to get your hair done, and then you also are willing to try a product if she says, try this. And so this is also a great way to build some other passive income into your main services and your main products, because people are more willing to take a chance to buy something else from you when they're already comfortable, okay? The other thing that you need to know is that there are lots of ways to make over your business to insert relationships. Relationship buying. So one of the things I want you to think about is I want you to think about what you're really interested in aside from your business. So it may be that you're interested in parenting, okay? It may be that you're interested in a sport. It may be that you're interested in, I don't know, pick any of the things, you know, in your health, right? Are these the things that you also talk to your clients about, aside from your actual business? So that, you know, if you go to some sporting events and you're, you know, with somebody that you really like, you know, are you going to strike up a conversation with them and say at some point, you know, I do such and such and stuff. You should stop by my store. You should go to my website. All right? Now, they've already met you. They know that they believe a lot of the same things that you believe in terms of sports, okay, or in terms of health, or in terms of parenting, okay, so that you've already got one foot of agreement with them. And so it makes it a lot easier for them to connect with you, okay, in terms of your regular business. And that's really all that you're trying to do. The other thing that you can do that's really simple is you can, once you know what you're interested in, you can provide your customers, your clients, with complimentary education. So let's say your business is lawn care, and you are a very conscientious parent. And so part of what you want to do is maybe have some handouts about safety for kids in terms of things that they can get in trouble in on the lawns, whether it's bugs or pesticides or something like that. You know, wouldn't a parent be happy to get something like that? Be, you know, this year we're having a huge influx of the such-and-such beetle, right? You know, keep your eye out for them and make sure that, you know, if you see, you know, you'll see red spots if your kid gets bitten. So that might be one way to do it. If you were talking about if you're business is, let's say, a grocery store, you may give out some handouts about how to reduce salt, you know, or what to look for in salt and products, right, if you're trying to reduce your blood pressure or your sugar. So it's a complementary thing that goes to your main business that helps you to kind of add some dimension to your business and help you to identify with your ideal client because they're interested in the same thing that you're interested in, aside, you know, in addition to your business. All right. So, you know, once you get into that whole relationship marketing, there are a couple of things that I think you need to know. And this is in terms of instead of selling, right? You know, because when you are selling, it's something you're doing to people as opposed to something for people when you're doing the relationship marketing. And so part of the important part of understanding relationship marketing is knowing how to overcome objections. And that's also part of the enrollment process. And, you know, a lot of people get really freaked out over objections, okay? And, you know, an objection is merely a form of resistance that a potential client uses to figure out whether or not they really want to do business with you. If you're able to overcome their resistance, then you can find out whether or not this is really an opportunity rather than an obstacle to doing business. And an enrollment objection is a way for your prospect to get more information from you, and one of the best ways to get more information is to ask questions. So we're going to talk about this. You know, having said that, one of the ways to build a relationship is to give them information and help them solve the problem so that they can know, like, and trust you. And attracting clients in your niche makes this go so much easier and faster because you've already, you know, established something. Like we said, the person that you met at the sporting event, you've got a common interest. The other thing objections do is that they help you to explore your target market. They help you to craft your services. And they're really part of a process. So, you know, the better you can handle them, the better off you're going to be. All right. So I think objections are things that people typically are really afraid of. It's like, oh, please, you know, just say yes, you know. But I want to give you some ideas about objections because I think it makes a big difference and it will help you to build that relationship. So I have a couple tips about overcoming objections. And the first one is that you should, you know, expect objections. You should use them to update your marketing. And one of the things that's interesting, of course, is everybody's got a limit. Most of us, I should say, have a limited amount of money. And so we want to be careful about how we spend it. So, you know, or what products we use, that kind of thing. So it's not all that unusual to get an objection, okay? It's not that unusual at all. And so basically, you want to cover some of these objections in your marketing. And the example that I'm going to give you is, because I've been doing this wellness class, was when my son became a massage therapist, or after my son became a massage therapist, one of the stories that I related to him was I didn't think that I could fit on the table. I was concerned about how much weight the table would hold. And so in his marketing, he put down, my tables hold up to 500 pounds. And, you know, he found that he got a lot more larger women to do massages on. So whatever your objection is, you know, that you can put it in your marketing, you can use that to your benefit, and you can overcome that objection before they even get to you. And it will speak to your unique market, the ones that are saying, ooh, I don't know if this is, you know, right for me. And you, right up front, you go, this is going to do this. This is going to take care of this problem for you. And so people are going to feel, you know, you understand what their problems are. And there are only about 5 objections, okay? And the good news is that means that you can practice them. And you want to look and see which one you get the most and what you can do to present that, you know, and learn not to be defensive. So the one that people usually get the most is, I can't afford it or I don't have the money. Think about it. When you've gone into some place, how many times have you go, oh, I don't think I can afford this? I mean, it's kind of one of the first things that comes out of a person's mouth. So, you know, some of the things you can say is, you know, do you see any benefits of you working with me? Or can you make sure that, you know, you also have to make sure ahead of time that you've established the value of your services. And my favorite is, aside from the money, would this be something you'd want to do? Okay? And I think that that's important because one of the things you want to do is you want to explore if they really don't have the money or just not the money for this. If they don't have the money, you know, because their budget is tight, you know, offer to brainstorm with them to figure this out. Okay, this is typically for larger packages. You know, someone who says to you, I can't pay my rent this month, you know, you're not there to, no matter how much trust you can establish, this might not be the right time for them. You know, this might also be the time, you know, if it's not that, this might also be the time that you need to really try to support them and encourage them in what they're trying to do. So it may be worth your while to say, well, let's see what we can do. Let's see if we can put together, you know, a package that fits your budget, okay? The second one is, I don't have time for this, or this isn't a good time. And so the question is, if you had the time, is this something you would do? Can I help? When is the right time, and what has to happen to make it the right time? Depending on what you're doing, and like I said, this is for the wellness. I said, you know, one of the things I said is the healthier you are, the more energy you have, the more time you seem to have to do stuff. And if you're feeling really good and not cocky, but generally empathetic, you can say, you know, I know how, you know, we all have 24 hours. What makes a difference is how we use it. You know, so is there a way that we can work on this and see if we can carve out some time for you to do this? Okay. The third one is, I need to check with a third party. I need to check with a spouse or a business partner. And, you know, your first reaction is, oh, no, not this one, you know. So the first thing is that this still might be a potential client, and you need to keep a success mindset. It basically says, you know, I'm interested. I just, you know, I need to, you know, bounce it off somebody else. And so one question you can ask that's really easy is, if it were only you, would you be ready to start working? You know, or if it were only you, would you purchase this? okay? And if they say yes, that's a good sign. If they say no, then you say, you know, well, if you're not ready to purchase this, there's no way speaking to somebody else is gonna make you ready to purchase this. Let's see what I can do to help you feel comfortable with this purchase first before you take it to somebody else, okay? And then when you kind of get to that place, you can say, what can we do to make sure this other person totally understands we're working together, understands us working together? So, what I used to say sometimes is, you know, when somebody said, I have to go tell my spouse, and I'd say, well, you know, I just spent 20 minutes or half an hour with you, and you know your wife much better than I do. What kinds of things would they ask? What would they be concerned about so that I can help you have the answers to that, so that you aren't caught off guard, right? The other thing would be, you know, I would say it's kind of like whisper down the lane. You know, I tell you one thing, you think you have it, you tell somebody else something different. And so depending on what kind of business you are, in that situation, if you get them to the point where they're willing to talk about their spouse and stuff and say, I would be happy to talk to your wife or your husband for you. Is there a time we can set up? I can do that for you. Okay, and that way you can get right to the crux of it. The fourth one is, I need to think about it. Okay, and so the questions for that is, tell me more. What information can I help you with? All right, because if they're thinking about it, they're turning it over in their mind. They've got some uncertainty, I think, going on. What did you like most about what we discussed so far? So that you know what they like and what, you know, they didn't. You can ask them, what have you tried before and what were you happy with, or, you know, what weren't they happy with, so that they're in the mode of discussing it, so that you can kind of talk to them about it and help them get closer to yes. Okay. One of the things that you can say is, let me help you with that. How much time do you need? Okay, let's set a deadline. One of the things that happens when people say, let me think about it, is they tend to, without setting a deadline, you're never going to come to a conclusion. They're not going to come to a decision. And the bottom line is, no decision is a decision. And so you want to help set a deadline for them. And it could be because the special lens. It could be because, they're looking, at certain windows. They need to wait till after, they need to wait till the beginning of the month. It's too close to the end of the month, that they have other reasons. So what you want to find out is what are they looking at in terms of the time that is having an impact on them, all right? And you want to make sure that you help them set a deadline that they can hold to. Now, understand, just because they've set a deadline doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to say yes, but they're not also going to be hanging out there. And the last one is, my inner voice is telling me no, and it's because it's taking them outside their comfort zone. Now, I have to tell you, I've never had anybody say that to me. They've typically used one of the other four excuses. But if they do say something like that, what you want to know is, what other ways have they tried to solve this? What's the cost of doing nothing? Okay? And many times it's a situation where people do not feel like, they don't feel right spending money on themselves or a service for themselves when they've got kids and husbands and stuff like that. So, taking care of yourself makes it easier for you to take care of others, all right? Now, the real reason that people come up sometimes with objections is that they have uncertainty, and it's your job to help them to solve that. So there are a couple of reasons for this, okay? There are four main reasons. They don't know, like, or trust you. And you can help your clients to develop this through your marketing before they even come to them. You can send them useful information or testimonials that will illustrate the results that you can correct. Or even, like I said when we were talking about, if I see something in writing about, the process that your service takes and what kind of results they get, I'm going to be more likely to say, this is what I'm looking for. So to get that know, like, and trust factor. They don't believe their service will help them. And so it's important that you give specific examples, you know, and that you can outline the plan that after X number of visits you should feel this way, or you should have this, right? A lot of times our clients really don't know what they want. And if they do, they're not committed enough to getting what they want. So, you know, part of your job may be to help your client get out of their comfort zone and make a clear commitment to themselves. You know, are you willing to put in, you know, 8 weeks into yourself so that you can be around for 8 more years for your kids, right? And I use this example because as a parent, even though, and as a coach, I teach, you know, put the mask on yourself, the air mask on yourself first in an airplane before your kids. As a parent, I tend to think about my kids first, even though my kids are grown, all right? And so it's important to help people to see that a commitment to themselves is really important and is really setting an example for their family that they want to be there for them, all right? They don't believe enough in themselves. You know, if you can help them to acknowledge that achieving the results they want will help them to have a better life can be very, very powerful. The other thing is you want to transform objections into opportunities, okay? Because, you know, objections are really a sign of their interest. So be open to questions and concerns. Say things like, I'm glad you asked. Tell me more about that. You can acknowledge their concerns. And a real golden oldie is feel, felt, found. I know how you feel. I felt that way too. This is what I found. So, you know, depending on what your service is, you know, you can say, I know how you feel. The first time I went and had an alternative treatment or I bought a such and such, I was kind of apprehensive, and this is what I found, that the more time I spent, the more homework, you know, that I did, research that I did, the more time I spent talking to the person, the more specifically they could help me with what I really needed. Okay. And just basically dig deeper. And the big question for that is, aside from, and that's their main objection, do you have any other concerns? And a lot of times people throw out the first concern, no time, no money. Those are the two biggies. Or I had to talk to my spouse, so I would say those are the three biggies. Aside from that, if you can take that off the table, you can actually get to what it is that they're really concerned about. When I used to be in the tax business, people would tell me, they would come back and they would want their money back. And I would say, you know, tell me what the situation. And they're like, this is too, you know, I didn't get the refund I wanted. This is too expensive. And I'd say, aside from that, were you happy with our service? And that's when I would get into, well, you know, the preparer had to ask for help a couple times, or they made corrections, or they didn't seem confident in what they were doing. And so, you know, then I would say to them, I would be happy to have somebody, you know, I'll happily give you your refund, but I would also be happy to have somebody else look at that. Would that make you feel better? And a lot of times once somebody else looked at it and they came out with the same result or a better result, people didn't necessarily want their refund, okay? So this works in terms of customer service as well. But you want to kind of repeat it twice. So, you know, you say, aside from this not being the right time, do you have any other concerns? Well, it really is kind of expensive. Well, aside from being expensive, are there any other concerns? Well, you know, and then, you know, you kind of repeat that a couple of times until you actually get down to what their real thing is. I'm embarrassed to have somebody know that I would want to use this kind of a service, or I need this kind of a service, or, you know, I feel like it's a luxury that I don't deserve, that kind of thing. When all else fails, okay, after you've gone through all these steps, when all else fails, you know, you don't want the person to feel beat up and battered. You know, it's important to basically say, would you like me to let you go, or would you like to talk about this some more? I want you to be comfortable, and I want you to know, I want you to feel comfortable and know that the door is always open. So you always want to leave the door open. You know, if this isn't the time, it's also, surprisingly enough, if you know somebody that could use the service, if you would refer them to me, I would really appreciate that. You know, the other question I think is, would you use it if it were free? Okay. Usually I ask that question first. Let me just ask you a question. Would you use the service if it was free? If they say no, I mean, they could say things like, oh, I would never want it for free because I always pay my bills, you know, that kind of stuff. But basically what you're trying to get to is if they don't want the service, even if it's free, this is not a client for you. You're really trying to persuade somebody to do something that they really don't want to do. And then again is, you know, I would like to help you, but if, you know, you would like me to let you go, you know, you have to let me know. Do you want to talk about this somewhere, or would you like me to let you go? I want you to feel comfortable. And if they say that they're ready to go, then you can say, well, hopefully you understand what I do, and I would be really happy if you could refer somebody to me. So I've given you a whole lot of things, but I want to tell you that you can kind of boil them down into two, a couple questions. And that is, tell me more. Can you be more specific? I want to be sure I address your concerns, okay? So that kind of exploratory questioning can open up a whole bunch of discussion. Tell me more. Can you be more specific? I want to make sure I've addressed your concerns. And that way you can really kind of get to what it is that they're concerned about. And my favorite is, aside from this, are there any other concerns you have? Because you can address the money issue or the time issue or I have talked asbestos issue up the wazoo and not have gotten to what the real issue is, okay? Now, having gone through this, right, one of the purposes is, two purposes. One is to address as many of these objections as you possibly can in your marketing so that you don't have them when you're coming, you know, when you're actually talking with a client. And the other one is to get to client enrollment. And that's really, you know, all roads lead to client enrollment. But let's just talk about the marketing a little bit more. You know, one of the things you can do with your marketing is have third party statistics. You know, one of the things I said to you is it's in proven research that it's cheaper to keep a client than to go find a new client. So those kinds of statements that you can put in your marketing are going to help you overcome objections before the client or the customer even gets to you. And that's really important. If you address it and if you don't think you have time for this, think again. We have special time frames or whatever. And it's funny because just before I got on the radio, my massage therapist, I have a friend, once a month we go together, and it's usually on a Sunday because it's very quiet and it's a nice way to spend a Sunday afternoon. It gets the week started off. And so she was going to be doing something else, and so it turned out that she didn't have any time in June for us, and we were going to have to wait till July. And I just got an email from her saying the thing that she had planned on doing that Sunday got canceled. Would we like to come in? Now, I love her for this because she knows what my scheduling is like and what I need, and she's willing to address that, right? I mean, she could have, you know, there was no reason we would have known that her thing got canceled until we got there in July. But the fact that she says, I know you like to do Sundays and I now have a Sunday available, would you guys like to come in? Okay, so special scheduling. We have, we have one Sunday a month that's open for special appointments or something like that. So you can address the client's needs before they get to you in your relationship marketing. And like I said, the whole purpose of relationship marketing is new client enrollment. And one of the things that's important is that it is really important to have a process. So now is really the time to do a paradigm shift on enrollment. And enrollment is about helping people to say yes to themselves and what they want. So sales is about getting money, and enrollment is different. Enrollment is about helping people commit to getting what they want, to, you know, inspiring and transforming their lives, to supporting them to make wise decisions. It's about offering your service in a way that empowers everybody, okay? So shifting from selling to enrollment is a central mindset, okay? And there are a couple of mindsets that you need to think about. Enrollment is not about convincing or pushing or manipulating. That's one mindset. And the other thing is that this can double your income without putting in a whole lot more effort, okay? And the third thing is that enrollment is a system. You have to have one. If you don't have a system, right, how do you know what works? And, you know, again, I'm going to mention the the Wellness Professional Success Blueprint, we spent a whole session on the enrollment process. And it really is wonderful and it really works. So imagine, you know, how you can make that first appointment or contact different. And one of the examples I'm going to give you is, again, I'm going to go back to massage because I'm into this wellness thing and this is kind of what I'm, you know. And the other benefit of talking about things like health services is those are some of the ones that people are very easy, you know, will very likely drop a lot of times as not being something that they really need. So if it works for them, it, you know, work for everybody. But I thought, you know, how many times did I either go for a new masseuse, go for acupuncture, or go for hypnosis or something like that? And not so much the hypnosis, but the acupuncture and the massage, you know, you're in a situation where you're going to be taking your clothes off in front of a stranger. Okay, how much nicer would it have been to have gotten a call before the appointment to establish some rapport, or an email even, just to say, I'm looking forward to seeing you. If you have any questions before you come in, please let me know. I want you to feel comfortable, that kind of thing. Now, when I went to the acupuncturist, she did follow up. A day or so later afterwards, she called and said, you know, she wanted to see how I was feeling, if I was okay, had I had any reactions. And that's another thing that doesn't really cost you anything to do. It only takes a minute, but it establishes that, you know, that rapport. The other thing that you can do is be sure you ask your clients what they liked about your service, you know, so that you can start to see what about your service is somewhat different than other people's service. And what can you do to help them have a better experience? Because you want them to partner with you. You want them to help to build that experience with you. So I went to a new massage therapist, and once you were within the massage room, the ambience was very nice, but the waiting room was crap. I mean, it really, it was kind of when I didn't know this person, I hadn't had any contact with them, and I went in, and the waiting room was like, okay, this is not very upscale, okay? Not that I need to have, you know, big-time upscale, but I want it to be comfortable. You know, I didn't feel that I could comfortably sit in the waiting room. The chairs were like the plastic fold-up chairs and stuff like that. Anyway, I did go back to him again. My daughter gave me a Groupon, and I went back, and he had new chairs. I mean, and that was one of the things I said to him is, I don't like your waiting room. You know, once I'm in the office, I'm good. In the massage room, I'm good. But the waiting area does not make me feel relaxed and comfortable. And I went back this time, and he had new chairs. So, you know, to know that somebody is actually listening to your, you know, asking you to partner with them, you know, and the way that you present that is not like there's something wrong with me, but I'm thinking about upgrading my services. What can I, you know, what would you like to see? Okay, I would like, I really respect and I'm interested in what you're thinking about. Okay? Okay, so what do you need for an assignment? Well, the first thing you want to do is you want to review your marketing plan. Does it really speak to your market? You know, are you sending it out to where your people are, where your tribe is, as everybody's saying these days? You know, and if it does, then maybe you just need to tweak it a little bit, you know, with some relationship marketing and, you know, when you reach out. If not, then maybe you need to go back to the drawing board, right? You need to pick a couple mindset shifts and some ideas to play with, you know, beside your business. What are you really interested in? How can you bring that into what's going on? And sometimes it's just the interest itself. You know, when I go get my massage, she goes, how are your kids doing? What have you done in your business? Tell me about this, that, and the other. And so the rapport is there, okay? How can you add this to your marketing and your services? It could be the magazines that you have in your waiting room. Right? And you say, I just, you know, read this interesting article on parenting. I read this interesting article on losing weight. I, you know, that kind of things. The really, really powerful thing is to address the objections before they come up. Okay? So in terms of homework, you know, I've been saying this over and over and over again, so I'm going to say it to you guys too. The speed of implementation is how fast you're going to get results. If you don't do anything, you're going to stay exactly where you are. The faster you can implement some changes, the faster you use something, the faster you're going to get the results and succeed. The other thing is, if you, it's called the confidence-competence loop. The more you do a thing, the better you get, and the more it builds your confidence so that you do it more. So you really want, this is really about managing your mind and the mindset, and it's about having a system. So I have a sheet that I use that I, you know, whenever I talk to a new person, I have a sheet to make sure that there are certain topics, you know, that I've covered certain things that I've asked them. I'm about to update this with the new enrollment process. I mean, that's in there, but I'm adding some other things along the way. And, you know, I can see that when I've covered all the points and really gone through the steps, so, you know, I will send people an email and say, I'm looking forward to talking to you. Before we talk, could you spend a little bit of time thinking about what would your business look like if you were at the pinnacle, if it was at the very best that you could imagine it being? What would you like to change so that we can have a productive conversation? Okay, so I send that out to them ahead of time so that they're ready to talk. And when they're there, you know, I say to them, this is the way this call is going to go, all right? And when I follow that format, okay, I find that I have much more success. If the client does not allow me to follow that format, like the one that I did about 2 weeks ago, it probably is not the right person for me. Okay, if I say, well, I have some suggestions, or have you thought about such and such, and they're like, I know what I want to do. I go, okay, you know, maybe this isn't going to work because, you know, you're not listening to what I'm saying and even willing to consider some new ideas. Okay, so the next thing that I want you to do is I want you to write down 5 ways that you can tweak the relationship component of your marketing. It could be, you know, that you just want to contact your clients before they come in, that you want to follow up with people that have made purchases, that you want to do birthday specials, that you want to develop some complimentary educational materials, okay? So whatever it is that adds to what you're doing, okay, that you can help them to know, like, and trust you, and shift the thought process from I want you to buy from me to I want to help you get what you want, okay, is going to be big in terms of changing your business, okay? The last thing is, and I mentioned this before, is that, you know, at a time when you want to tweak your business, there is always a chance that you need new information, okay? So that new information can be a mastermind. It can be, you know, an affinity group. The one that I'm going to tell you about right now, again, I'm going to mention it, is www.eft-scripts.com, the Wellness Professional Success Blueprint, which is a step-by-step growth model. It is going to go through so many things, and right now it's only $39.99. The price will continue to go up until we're finished, and it'll be over $200. But right now you can get it for $39.99. We talked about how do you price your services. We talked about how do you make time for change. How do you build in change? You know, get time to build in change into your business. We talked about becoming an expert in your niche, how to overcome objections, the enrollment model. This week we're going to be talking about putting all this together into a business plan so that you can actually start getting some really significant actions, strategies set out to make your business grow. So, again, that's www.eft-scripts.com. It's also in the description. All right. So, I've gone a little bit longer than I normally go, but what I want you to know is that this is information, and the question is, how are you going to use it? And there's more than one way to move forward. And I purposely try to leave, you know, make my show a little bit shorter than an hour so that you've got some time once you hang up to know, you know, what kind of actions you're going to take. And so the question really is, how much effort are you willing to put into this? I mean, nobody gets anything for nothing. There's effort involved. That's the investment that you make in yourself. So I am so glad that you came. 2015 is almost halfway over, and so you still have a chance to make it better. What are you going to do differently? What did you learn that's going to help you turn your dreams into goals, your goals into plans, and your plans into specific actions? So from I'm Ready For Me, I want you to remember to be empowered, design your life with ease, and have a formula that works with and for you. I'm ready to be healthy, wealthy, and alive. I'm ecstatic. And until our next show, I hope I have many days that I'm ecstatic. I hope you do too. All right. I can't wait to hear from you guys. Bye.